Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 299, part 2, the conclusion to peace. Today is Sunday, July 7th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
So with this in mind, let us look at one who had victory over his circumstances. And maybe I came on a little bit heavy there. Oh, you can't come on too heavy when you're trying to get people free. Jesus, help us. We cannot come on too heavy when we're trying to see people freed from the bondages of worry. Can we? I, John, listen. Your brother and sharer with you in sorrows and kingdom and patient endurance of Jesus, found myself on the island of Patmos for my loyalty to the Word of God and truth told to us by Jesus. Revelation 1 and 9. Whew. Now here is a man who is mature in love. And from it has developed a great peace, a godly peace. Now, he doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about himself, does he? He sticks to the very fundamentals. Now, some of us would have been thrown on the island to be a prisoner. We get into the very non-essential things. Let me tell you about this and so on like that, and we get into our family tree and how long we've been in church and what our position in church is and everything, and here we are stuck on this lousy island. He simply tells us that he is a Christian. He doesn't say, I, John, the greatest of all Christians. He doesn't say, I, John, the genius. He simply says, I, John, your brother. In other words, he belongs to the brotherhood. He is part of that kingdom that Jesus has come to establish on this earth. And through becoming a follower of Jesus, he's become a partaker of a very divine nature, just like we have. And so he has many of the characteristics of our Lord. And one of them is the patience of Jesus. Now, I'm talking about in the original Greek, it's called a kind of rich patience. It means power to endure and power to suffer. Patience that can endure, of course, is impatience. And patience that can't suffer, of course, is not divine patience. So we're talking about a patience that can endure and has the power to suffer. And I think these are the privileges, if you listen very carefully, the privileges of those who follow Jesus, a patience that has a power to endure and a power to suffer. I mean, how do you put up with this? You got the power. Got the power. How can you go on day after day? You got the power. Got the power. How can you endure this? You got the power. Jesus had this kind of patience. Also, patience means the power to wait for a very hoped good. Wasn't he patient with his blundering followers? And isn't he patient with you and I? The Bible says, truly a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And John claims that he has come as a son of the kingdom to share in the patience of Jesus. Do you want to be a sharer in the patience of Jesus? Can you be patient with one another? It's hard being patient with your kids, isn't it? Isn't it? Carolyn, sometimes it's hard to be patient with them. Huh? Debbie and Janine, and isn't it hard? Mick and Alicia, sometimes it's hard to be patient with our children, isn't it? But you know you can have that kind of patience. And so, like John, we enter into the privilege of discipleship, which then we enter into its responsibilities. When you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you enter in to responsibilities. You know you have a responsibility? You listen on the radio to keep listening? Did you know when you come to church, you have a responsibility to lend your ears? Did you know that taking on a mission, you mission pastors, I don't care what part of the world you're in, you take on a responsibility when you take on a mission that you die for that mission, do anything that you have to do to keep it going? Do you know you take on the responsibility of that? Are you willing to take on that responsibility? Well, if you're going to be a disciple, you have to take on responsibilities. But you know what? If you take them on, and you dedicate your time and your plan and your purpose to the plan and purpose of God, and you take it on, you'll have peace. Why? You've given up. You've surrendered yourself. You've surrendered all. And there's nothing more you can give. That'll give you peace. That means you'll have to surrender judging. You listening on the radio won't be able to judge. You've surrendered that. When you take on to be a disciple, it says, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. In the same manner that you meted out to others will be meted out to you. Don't do it. Why shouldn't we judge? Because it causes us to worry. We lose our peace when we start to judge. We get a knot in our gut. We can't sleep because we're judging. We're worrying about, well, let's see now, if we do it, this happens and that happens, then what's going to happen if that happens? And then if this happens and that happens, what's going to happen if this happens? And of course, if that happens and this happens, oh man, it's just so much I can hardly believe it. I'm never going to sleep tonight. I'm just going to worry all night. I might as well put the coffee pot on, sit up and worry. Judge not. In other words, worry not. Don't think about it. Put your mind on what you're supposed to do and don't worry about it. You ever had somebody working for you and they're worried about everybody else? Well, how come he isn't doing it? You never told him. Hey, don't worry about them. Just take care of your job over there. You losing your peace. This lazy sluggard over here, notice how peaceful they are. They're just sort of not doing nothing. How many are hearing this? Ooh, patience. Patience. Like John, you see, when we enter into the privilege, I said, of discipleship, we enter also into its responsibilities. And this is where a lot of people leave off right there. They do not want to take on the responsibilities. Because if we, like John, share in the victory of Jesus, listen to this now. In our own personal lives, I'm talking about, We must also then enter into the fellowship of his suffering. You have to take the good with the bad. Oh, it's so good. It's so good when we go out, we fly off. Acapulco, a Christian hideaway. And we fly and then we enter into Acapulco. And there's a coastline down there and the green trees. And a great big hotel, Extravaganza down there. And we land down there and we're going to get a two-week teaching down there, see? We're going to learn all about Jesus in Acapulco. You can learn all about Jesus right down here on the north side in a mission or in Africa someplace. Stuck in a swamp with mosquitoes biting you all over, huh? Why is it we have to learn about Jesus in Acapulco? Huh? Or in Israel? Huh? If you're going to take on the privilege of having the patience of Jesus Christ, you also have to fellowship in his suffering. If you want to be with his glory and share in his glory, then you got to share in the sufferings. What a privilege. Isn't there a song like that? What a privilege to follow. Oh, I don't like that suffering part. I think that's negative. I just want to go over here and learn about Jesus. Well, he says you're always learning but never coming to know Jesus. Why? Because people don't want a fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. They miss it. They lose their peace. If you'll just commit yourself to the Word of God right now and say, I am ready to go and have the privilege of patience. Also, I'm going to have the privilege of suffering the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And I want a fellowship in those sufferings. You will have peace when you make up your mind that you got to drop dead to your flesh. It's so hard. Why are there so many people that don't have peace? They have not given up yet. I always know when I lose my peace, something is in the way. Me. Not the other guy. Not the guy that slapped my face. No. I'm in the way. I haven't given something over yet. Give it over. But not only does he share in the sufferings of his Lord, but he shares in the sufferings of his fellow Christians. He was so loyal to his master that it got him into trouble. Do you know if you're loyal to the cause of Christ, it will get you in trouble? What a negative word. Oh, I never want to hear a word like that. It will get you in trouble. This man was like a French fry. They boiled him in oil. Come on the Isle of Patmos. Come on, following Jesus Christ, I'm talking about with tenacity and getting in there to fellowship in his suffering, and it'll give you peace. Why didn't he burn up? Because he went in there with full peace. You know what that is then? That's power. That's endurance. Power of endurance. Ooh, it got him into trouble. Loving Jesus will give you love and joy and peace, but it'll also get you into suffering, in trouble. You might even lose your popularity. Oh, how we hate to lose our popularity. You know why? Because that's us. That's our flesh. Beware when all men will speak well of you. Are you hearing this? Don't we want to have people think well of us? Oh, there comes so-and-so. Hi. Well, what if they would take their two fingers, press them upon their nose, and say, P.U.? Would it hurt your feelings if you happened down to work and you went in there and he said, P.U., here comes that tremendous boor. Oh, he is so boring. I just hate to have him around. Huh? what you do. If you're a Christian and there's a great big group over here, we do not believe what you're doing. You stink. Oh, wow. Would you be able to take it? Well, that's what they did to Jesus. That's the sufferings of Christ. Would you be able to take it if they just attacked your popularity? Not your body with a sword, but if they just didn't like you, if they just turned their head the other way and walked away. Huh? What would you do? What would you do if they just walked away? We're not talking to you. What would you do? See, when you really get involved, folks, and you really get serious about the cause of Christ, are you hearing this? You up in the balcony with thousands of people. When you really get serious about following Jesus Christ, you'll be hated, it says, in the house of your friends. Would you be able to withstand if you lost your popularity? Oh. That's like trying to wash a kid's face. Now, you could wash it real easy if he just let you, instead of fighting you. Get it over. Just give up. Wasn't there a song? I surrender all. I surrender all. Isn't there? I'm trying to tell you how to get peace. Give up. It'll cause you trouble when you give up. Vital Christians will always get into trouble. Isn't that exciting? Huh? Just like your kid. He's a vital kid. What happens? He's always in trouble. On the other hand, following Jesus Christ and being a vital Christian will always get you into trouble. Not into worry. If we always sail on glassy seas, wouldn't that be boring? If we never hit a storm or any rude winds of opposition, wouldn't that be boring? I think we better check out our charts if that's the case. If everything is always smooth in our sailing and there's no rough seas or no rude awakenings, chances are you're headed for the wrong port. John's Christianity, I'm saying, got him into trouble. Got him arrested. Got him thrown onto the Isle of Patmos, a penal a concentration camp. No Christian friends. He was shut away from fellowship. He was shut away from preaching. He was shut up with criminal companions, all the Roman misfits, with people that were rude and cruel. Sometimes I feel like I'm on the Isle of Patmos down here. Because it seems like there isn't a whole lot of Christians that venture in to this island. But I got peace. Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to give it up for nothing. Oh, temporarily once in a while. Like I say, if I get real tired. But I'm not going to give my peace up. It says, receive your peace back to yourself. Someone doesn't want the peace that you have, then receive it back to yourself. Whew. Whew. Are you hearing this? Yes, there are things about the experience of John on the Isle of Patmos that are unique. But also, I believe, there are some things which are not unique. Our lives are always bringing us into some kind of a Patmos. The life that we lead in Jesus Christ is always putting us on some kind of an island. Do you feel like you're living on an island? The life that I decided to live, coming here to the north side, has been a series of Patmoses. But boy, oh boy, even if there's boiling oil, you got peace. Hallelujah. Ooh. And so I said, our lives are always bringing us into some kind of a patamus, circumstances, good and bad, that try us. You mean a good circumstance will try us? It will. Patmos for John, according to the Bible, was a place of pain. Is your Patmos a place of pain? Are you going through some kind of a mental anguish, some kind of a pain? But for others, Patmos is an island of prosperity. See, some of them are tested by having too little, and some are tested by having too much. I think we most always put our emphasis on what we call the hard times. But many times, you see, it's the so-called good times that really creates the hard times. I'm not saying that circumstances aren't important. But far more important is our reaction. How you react in a situation is going to be the outcome of that situation. How you react in it. How you react in your Isle of Patmos. Whether it's a good island of Patmos or a bad island of Patmos or a prosperity or a poor one. I've learned to be content whatsoever Patmos I'm in. The state of Patmos. I learned to be content whatever state Patmos I'm in. Oh, that's so important. Wow. Well, how did John react to his Patmos? No, I'm closing it. He didn't let it defeat him. He could have given up to self-pity. Well, just look what following Jesus has done to me. How many have thought that at one time or another in their lifetime? Just look what it's cost me to follow Jesus. This is the thanks I get. Friends that run out during trials. The Lord let me down. I lost my popularity. Why me, Lord? He could have died complaining. Oh, I know there's people that enjoy bad health. Because you know why? They love to sit in self-pity. And they love to bellyache about their bellyache. How are you feeling? You look good. Looks are deceiving. I feel terrible. You tell some people they look good, they won't accept it. Looks are deceiving, a guy told me. I said, boy, you look great. Huh? Look great. Little do you know, I feel terrible. I got this. You ever see my operation? Look at here, huh? Put the coffee pot on. Let's talk about my situation. Let's talk about my pain. My daughter Debbie and myself know several people like that. Isn't that right? They just love to talk about their pain. And oh, what a pain they are. Little do you know, huh? What is your Patmos tonight? What is it? What kind of a Patmos are you living in? Is it one with prosperity? Or is it one that's got traumatic happenings in it? I don't know. Well, but whatever it is, it's your reaction. Are you hearing this? Yeah, he could have died complaining. John could have surrendered to a hard situation through discouragement. How many have been discouraged once or twice during their Christian walk? Never been discouraged? You on the radio, have you ever been discouraged? Well, how can you be encouraged if you've never been discouraged? He could have said, well, you know, the church is really weak. Rome or the world, all roads lead to Rome. The world is so strong and the church is so weak, I just give up. Why keep on? Why not just be neutral? Just go to church. Why not move out to suburbia? Why not just become inconspicuous and sort of hide in the woodwork? And then again, there are some of us that surrender to harsh circumstances by becoming sour and bitter. There is nothing more sourer than a minister that's soured, that turns sour. Are you hearing it? There is nothing worse than a minister that's turned sour. He loses his love, he loses his joy, and he loses his joy that grows into peace. The steps that you take. And it comes through suffering, long suffering. Do you think there's someone keeping score? Oh, yeah, they're keeping score. It says, behold, there is a cloud of witnesses watching. I know in the end there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be bitter. Quitters, even in the sitters. See, there are people that just sit, but there's even going to be quitters in the people that just sit because once in a while they get excited and clap occasionally. But if the devil gets someone by making them bitter, he gets some by making some hard and arrogant by success. They have no patience whatsoever with people that fail. They become so nearsighted that all they can see is themselves in the mirror of life, and the only ones they can see as perfect is themselves. And so if we can have, and I'm closing it, if we can have a victory over our failures, we can also have victory over our successes. Sometimes we have a victory and we need to have a victory over this, over that victory, and so we don't get stuck on one thing that we've done. John says, I found myself in Patmos. I was in the Spirit. In trials, he got closer to God. How true that is. He had peace in his trials. Oh, golly, that's such an important thing. He grew in peace. He made adjustments. Sometimes you have to make adjustments in your life. Sometimes you do. I mean, sometimes they're painful. And so growth in peace is the acid test of any kind of growth. Peace is not, folks, a luxury to be added to life. It's a sign of growing in life. When you got peace, brothers and sisters, you are growing. When you got peace, when you should be showing by all outward signs that you're just going to fall apart and you got peace in that, that is a sign of growth. Oh, if I'm not growing in peace, I'm not growing in life. And like John, if we can grow in peace even in our Patmos, whatever it may be. Oh, wow. Let me read some scriptures here before I close. I think it's important. Here it is. And this is Colossians 1 and 18 through 20. He is also head of the body, the church. He is also the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was by the Father's good pleasure for all of fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through his blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Wow. Next, I think, in closing here, fix your mind that growth in peace is possible. You can grow in peace, and fix that in your mind that that is possible. You don't have to get into the struggle and the clenching of the fist and the veins in the neck and all of this. Jesus said, which one of you, by giving thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Learn to be receptive. Learn to receive. If I've learned one thing, I've learned to receive, and I've learned to listen to people. I listen real careful. Maybe a part of what they might have to say is true. Learn to be receptive. Learn to take in. The amount that you take in, of course, will be your growth, but watch what you take in. Let me read another piece of scripture here. And here it is, and this is Colossians 3 and 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindliness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called into one body, and be thankful. Make peace possible for you. Let peace in when it knocks. When you're all upset and you're all frustrated, every time, peace will knock. You know what to do right then and there? Open up the door. Open up the door. Second Corinthians 13 and 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Wow. Go over your life tonight when you get home. Just go over your life. Just go, totally go over it. Just kind of think. Now, I'm not saying be like a weirdo and go back into your mother's womb and go through the whole birth thing. But go through your life tonight. Are you hearing this? And root out all the things that cause discord within you. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's being frustrated all the time. Maybe something is ruining your peace. Listen to this. And this is John 16 and 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcome the world. God, go over your life tonight. Find out what's bothering you. Here's the last piece of scripture now. Talking about now, discipline your thoughts. Discipline them. And this is John 14, 26 and 27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Peace. Peace. You can have it. And I'm talking, I think, as a, for the most part, well, not, I can't say for the most part, but being through a battle after battle after battle, I found out that, hey, I'm going to be receptive to the Word of God. I'm going to be receptive to what people's needs are. I am going to, for the most part, try to die to myself. I am going to receive Jesus Christ in every situation, which is the root of the thing, the tree of the thing, and He will give me joy, and He will give me peace, the grown-up joy. He'll give me that peace. So there's sort of a little laughter on the inside and a little smile behind the serious face and a little smile and a little all ready to bust forth at any time. It's always there, folks, but you just got to find out, say, hey, think on whatsoever things are good and pure and so on like that. Why not? You get a jealous thought or you get some kind of a thought or you get a mean thought or something, you say, hey, hold it. Think on whatsoever things are pure. Think on those things. And you start to change your thinking and you're more receptive to the Word of God. I'm talking about simple gospel messages now. It's no great big high, big flight of El Capoco thing and all the teachings and a great big notebook and everything and it cost you $400 for the notebook and about $500 for four tapes. I'm not talking about that. I'm simply receive the Word of God. There is so much sham going on. And that's why we don't have peace. We paid that much for that thing. Yeah, I can't have peace. I can't even buy bread now. I went on that trip and I did this and so on like that. No, you can have the peace right where you're sitting right tonight. Isn't that wonderful? My God, and it's free. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, Let's show that it's wonderful. I mean, you know, some kind of recognition, that's wonderful. Hooray! I mean, anything, folks. I mean, it's so great, this message. So great that you can have the joy and you can have the peace. Hallelujah. No matter what the situation is. Isn't that great? Wow. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege of suffering, for the privilege of gaining patience through it, for the privilege of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, for the privilege, Lord, of entering into this work, for the privilege, Lord, of being part of the body of Christ on an island of Patmos, in the island of Patmos, in this Patmos, the city of Patmos, hallelujah, in this living one has got a high time going and one we got a low time going, whatever it is, Lord, help me to have the right thing in each of those island experiences, and that is you that brings me the joy and brings me the peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 299. That was part two, To Peace. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll see links to the blog and the podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Join us next Friday for episode 300, Temper. Have a great week. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.